No extension for Trae Young. It looks like both the Hawks and Trae are going to roll the dice, and we could be talking about now the biggest free agent on the market next summer. Let's get into what this is all going to mean and what kind of a risk the Atlanta Hawks are reportedly taking here, as well as the risk that Trae Young is taking. I'm Trevor Lane. This is the Basketball Bulletin. Make sure you subscribe right here. And by the way, we have forgotten like the last four or five videos that we've done to let people know about this. We do have a podcast feed that's out now. You guys can find that. Just search Basketball Bulletin on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, wherever you listen to podcasts. And right here on the YouTube channel, we dropped some merch. We opened up the store. So go take a look at that. You can click the link above where you can find all the different options here on YouTube. Yeah. Donnie,
really quick, I want to say, let us know of any other like phrases that you want to see or things that you want to see as merch, because it's mostly just the logo, but we absolutely want to expand it. So let us know.
That's right. Let us know in the comment section what other kinds of merch you would like to see aside from just the Basketball Bulletin logo. All right, let's get into this. So this is the latest from Jake Fisher on Trae Young. He is extension eligible. They're all eyes on Trae right now because De'Aaron Fox got his extension done. Luka got his extension done. League sources tell me there are no plans for Young and the Hawks to engage in extension talks this summer. You know, Mark Spears mentioned it the other day that there was disappointment on Trae Young's side, that they had not broached the issue of an extension for him. You know, Donnie, even if Trae says, I want to wait, and there is some financial reason potentially for him to wait a year, even if Trae says, I want to wait, I think there is a respect factor here where if you're the player, you want to hear the team say, hey, if you're interested, we would like to keep you. We would like to talk about an extension. Oh, you'd prefer to wait. That's okay. We're okay with that too. Kind of the Lakers offered Austin Reeves that extension knowing he was going to turn it down, but just, hey, just out of respect, we want to make sure we offer it. We show that we want you. If you have any interest in this, cool. We don't expect you to. And if you don't, we'll move forward from here. But the Hawks not actually initiating that conversation, I think that is what disappointed Trae Young.
Yeah, I would agree with that. However, the incentive for him to potentially go into next season and extend later is there, but I wonder if they didn't initiate that because that would have probably had to have been the max available extension. And does he potentially just take that at that point? Like, it's a little bit different. Like, for example, like Denver did the same thing, but they knew but Jokic was going to decline it. It's a little different because Trae might mess around and take that. So maybe that's part of it. But I agree with you, though, the respect factor of just offering something that's, you know, worthwhile, because they can't just throw him a $30 million deal and expect him to be happy about that. So
No, of course not. But as Fisher has here, sources say Young's side has actually been resigned for some time to the prospect of seeing out the final guaranteed year. And by the way, you know, to your point, like if you were to offer Trae Young a contract, if you were to say, hey, let's talk about an extension, that doesn't mean you actually have to put the document in front of him and have him sign it. You could say, hey, we'd like to talk about it. Oh, it doesn't make sense for you. Okay, no problem. You know, there's ways that you could still at least express that you want to keep him long-term, especially when you look at how this roster is built. But Young has been resigned for some time to the prospect of seeing out the final guaranteed year of his contract rather than securing an extension. His current contract worth excess of $200 million. Then he has to make a decision on a $49 million player option for next year. So that's where there's a little bit of security. I mean, frankly, a lot bit of security, $50 million almost on the books for next year for Trae Young on a player option. So that does give him that fallback. Should he have some type of significant injury or something like that, he at least has that money that's sitting there for him. And again, it's a player option. So if he wants it, it's there. But from the Hawks perspective, even though you might feel pretty comfortable moving forward, and I have had some Hawks fans tell me, well, but they really want to figure out Dyson Daniels' extension first and then get a sense of how much money they've got for Trae. But the reality of the situation is Trae Young is probably going to hit free agency next summer, or at least have the ability to do so. Maybe he signs an extension June 30th with the Hawks. That's possible. He never technically hits free agency, but the option will be in Trae Young's hands now. The ability to leave will be held by Trae Young.
Yep. That's what you forfeit here by not extending him now or this summer. Exactly. At some point during the season, even you, if you go that far in, you forfeit the flexibility in terms of, or the optionality in terms of like do we keep this guy? Because Trey has all the leverage. Now, you can say, okay, well, we just want to move on. And in that case, then you're not too mad about that. But Trey has the leverage. He can say, I want to re-up for X amount of years. And if you don't do it, I'm going to go elsewhere. There are going to be teams that are potentially going to be, you know, having cap space. Maybe one of those teams could pursue Trey Young. And then he also, if for whatever reason he needs to opt in, he can opt in. And then you can do this dance again a following year later. So there's a lot of it just falls in favor of Trey deciding what he wants to do if you go that far in. And so, like we said last time we talked about this, I mean, the fact that they haven't worked this out tells me that there is probably at least a little bit, whether they want to figure out some other things first, there's probably at least a little bit of concern as to whether or not he's their guy, how much money he's going to be commanding, things like that. And I think that's fair if you're an organization doing your due diligence. But yeah, I also think that if you've got a Trey Young, you want to lock him up. But a lot of people, we've talked about this stuff recently with these maxes, a lot of people feel he is or isn't a max player. You can't pay him a max salary, things like that. So it's interesting for sure. But if he, for some reason, makes it to free agency next offseason, he could be the best player on the market at that point, but, or one of the best players on the market anyway, but the problem still remains that guard is just so deep around the NBA. And so a contending team may or may not be able to talk themselves into a Trey Young. Maybe he's an upgrade of their pre-existing starting guard though.
Well, and I think this is part of the thought process for Atlanta too, is looking around, like, here's, you know, Fisher noting that there was a point where Trey Young's camp looked at him as the combo with Wemby, that he was going to be the optimal playmaker. That. And that was something we talked about quite a bit. Mm-hmm. But then De'Aaron Fox beat him to the punch. Because
that would have been nice, though.
A year earlier. That would have been really nice. That would have been a nice pairing for San Antonio. But De'Aaron Fox was able to, because he was going to hit free agency sooner, was able to push his way to San Antonio. And now he took that spot. So I think there is an element of, like, hey, if Trey wants to leave, where is he going to go?
Yeah.
Where is he going to wind up going here in this situation? Now, no one is, as Fisher notes, no one is suggesting that Young is actively pushing his to get out of Atlanta. And it's possible that if Atlanta really is contending and Trey Young can make all NBA, then he could be eligible for a 5-year, $350 million contract extension. And Trey just led the NBA in assists last season, and he did so fairly comfortably. I would pick him to do it again. I think with this team that they've built, there is a real chance that he could make all NBA. Now, I'm not going to say it's a lock. It's not like, you know, if Giannis is going to play 70 plus games, he's a lock for all NBA. Obviously, that would be the situation. Trey, I don't think, is a lock to make all NBA, but I think that possibility is really here given the roster that Atlanta has put together. So there is potential upside here for not just the Hawks, for their flexibility moving forward, but for Trey Young as well to get even more money. And at that point, the Hawks might be saying, man, I wish we had just done an extension last summer if Trey Young does make all NBA. So this could make things a little bit tricky. But again, there's upside here for Trey. While the Hawks are maybe mitigating their long-term risk here by not doing an extension right now and saying, well, then we'll have more flexibility next summer. That may be true, but there's also a very possible world where Trey Young is sitting there going, hey, I just made all NBA. Bring me that 5-year deal now. And then the Hawks, and then what do the Hawks do?
I mean, do you do it at that point? You may feel pressured into it because he's an all NBA player, et cetera. And with some of the guys falling out from the Eastern Conference, maybe the runway is clear for Trey, assuming good health. And you never know who else could potentially fall out of the running for those all NBA spots when you talk about health and all that stuff. So that's certainly a possibility, but it's just, that's a lot of money to offer and a big pill to swallow. Certainly if you're going to offer him $350 million.
Yeah, absolutely. And that's where, that's a lot of money.
That's a lot. That
price tag, that's where it becomes tough. That's where Trey's defensive deficiencies become more difficult to tolerate.
Yeah.
When he's making that much money and taking up that much of your cap. Yeah, but again, that's the risk.
He's going to be probably pushing out of his prime by the end of that deal. The contract will still be really big. Yeah, the percentage will go down, projected and all that stuff. But I don't know. And he's 5'10", 5'11". I don't know if I love that at that point. But he at least would be an expiring projecting, like, you know, the end of the deal.
I mean, in terms of 2026 free agency, he's the number one guy, right? Yeah. Like, and I'm not saying he's better than LeBron or better than Durant.
Just because of the age.
Just because of age. In terms of if a team's going to go make a long-term commitment to a free agent, he would, I believe, immediately be the top guy in free agency for 2026 if the Hawks don't get this extension done.
Yeah. And look at this list, by the way. If you're a team trying to worry about cap space next offseason, while you can do more with it than sign free agents, like you can absorb players or whatever, there's not really a lot of guys out here that are free agents next summer that are super duper good. Like, especially like if you're looking for a star player.
And if you're looking at if Keegan Murray, if Jaden Ivey were actually free agents, I think that changes the conversation a bit.
But they're RFAs. Thompson, like, what's going on?
Oh, sure.
There?
Right. But that's like that's a team option. I mean, these are names that are on here, but are not really going to be under. And that's also where, I mean, Lakers big man DeAndre Ayton has got to be looking at the market and going, I have a good year. And I could really be, because I have a player option, I could really be a free agent. Yeah. There's not a whole lot of other players.
I mean, speaking of the Lakers, LeBron and AR are two of the top free agents this upcoming offseason, potentially, as things currently stand. So, like, if you're the Lakers and you're looking to try to get somebody off the market, again, you could do more with it. You could maybe pull a trade in.
If you're the Lakers, you're probably hoping Trae Young is on the market.
to take
some of the attention away from LeBron.
I thought you were saying you wanted to put him with Luke. I was like, wait, what? But no, I got it after. Yeah. If he goes out there, he's going to suppress the value of some of the other guys, I think.
Yeah. So that's something to consider too here. Like Trae, I think, and there's some other worthy names, no question, but Trae becomes the top guy in free agency next summer if he does indeed hit the market. And that's something the Hawks have to be concerned about too, because there are teams that will probably go after him. Is he a perfect fit everywhere? No. And that's the challenge, where like if Giannis were a free agent, everybody's going after him, right? And he can fit anywhere. The same is cannot be said of Trae Young, but I would still be shocked if there were anything less than five or more teams that were making serious inquiries into landing him if he's a free agent.
Yeah, I would maybe disagree a little bit on the Giannis piece, because I do think that he can't fit anywhere. I think not because his skill set, but also because his skill set, if that makes sense. You need shooting around him. You need the floor space.
Sure.
You got to have a lot of that around.
But the point is, like, he's so good, everybody.
But every team would make the changes you need to make him work. So that's just me nitpicking. I'm sorry.
No,
but with Trae Young, I do think that he has some very real problems that you just kind of can't get over. Again, he's short. That matters in the NBA. And he's not good on the opposite end of the court. That obviously would be something you'd have to account for. You'd need to put something similar to what Atlanta has done with these switchable guys around him. I was listening to the Hoop Collective earlier, and they were talking about this on their pod that went out yesterday. They were saying that basically the Hawks are in a position where they may also look at trying to build around Johnson instead. That's on the table as well for the Hawks, seeing what they have with Johnson.
Building around Jalen Johnson. Now, Jalen Johnson, they didn't get to see a lot of last year because of injury, but they do like him a lot. But again, they've built a team around Trae. Like
they built a team Trae fits around.
Fits in, right? And that doesn't mean that no other point guard would fit, because I think other guys will. But this is a team built to really maximize Trey's strengths and minimize his weaknesses. Hmm. So I would be surprised ultimately if Trae and the Hawks move on from each other, but free agency 2026 gets much more interesting if Trae is available on the market.
Yeah, for sure. And even potentially 27, what happens if there's the world where he decides to take that option? Maybe he was hurt or whatever, and then they're not able to come to an agreement. And then you look at the next offseason, right? Like, but the reality is that Trae is in this spot where I think that if you're the Hawks, and be what may with all the other stuff, do you want to see Johnson? Do you want to wait on extensions with Daniels? All that other stuff. I do think that you should try to extend Trae now, because I think it would really suck, right, if you've got to extend him on that later number if you plan to keep him anyway, right? Yeah. I think that would really suck, because it's just going to really balloon because he makes all NBA.
Exactly. So that's the risk that the Hawks are taking here.
Yeah, and that's why I don't think that they started talks with him, because I think he probably takes it.
I don't think it would be the worst thing, though, if he took the extension. I don't know.
No. I don't think so. Like, I don't think it'd be the worst thing. Like we were just talking about, it could get much worse in terms of money. Like if he gets much more, right? But if you present an extension offer like that to Trey, I do wonder if he takes it. But you know, conversely, maybe Trey is just locked in on, hey, you know, maybe I'm gonna go out there. This team fits perfectly around me. I feel like I can really show what I can do, and I'll be maximized this season. And assuming good health, which obviously you're gonna assume, I'll go out there and I'll make an all NBA team. And this team will be really competitive with the East open. We'll be back in the conference finals again. Maybe he's thinking all of these things and he could really come up, and maybe that's what he really wants to do.
He could make himself a lot of money if the Hawks are willing to play ball at that number. But it does appear no extension for the Hawks, for Trae Young. Both sides potentially rolling the dice a little bit here, but the Hawks not willing to have that conversation. I can tell you this.
It'll get done tomorrow.
It'll get done tomorrow. Three years ago, they're having these talks 100%.
Yeah.
3 years ago, under the old collective bargaining agreement, they are 100% talking about the extension here. This is, I think, in part the new deal coming in, and it's part of why De'Aaron Fox's extension still looks like a bit of an outlier, because the new NBA guys don't automatically get max money, and we're seeing teams really try to be careful with their salaries moving forward. And that appears to be what's happening here with the Atlanta Hawks and Trae Young. I think Trae Young is underrated. I think he's a phenomenal player, and I think he is going to have a big, big season, and it would not shock me at all if he winds up making all NBA. And then the conversation gets really interesting.
That's
for Atlanta next
really
summer.
Suck for Atlanta. At that point, man, you may just got to let him go if you want to go somewhere else.
Atlanta's going to be like resting him and stuff like that to try to pull his numbers. Trey, we're only playing you 15 minutes tonight. We got to pull your averages down. We can't have you make it all NBA.
Well, no, watch him go out there and put up 26-12 and be like, well, pay me.
That's very much in the realm of possible outcomes here. But everybody, give us your thoughts. Is Atlanta making a mistake here by not doing an extension with Trae Young right now and waiting? Could it turn out to be something that bites them? Or will they have enough optionality next summer to where even if they lose Trae, they've got a solid team of wings built out? Guards are easier to find. Can they go find somebody to replace him? Is that making it a little bit easier to take this risk for the Hawks? Give us your thoughts in the comments down below. Don't forget to check out the story here on the YouTube channel and go search for the podcast feed on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, wherever you listen to podcasts. Till next time, everybody. See ya and stay safe.